Good morning. Please turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 20 as we read from verses 13 to 38, or if you prefer, turn to the Bible passage that's found inside the sermon notes inside your bulletin today. Again, that was Acts chapter 20, verses 13 to 38. This passage is Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. We went on ahead to the ship, and it sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there and arrived off Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the tasks that the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away the disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus said himself, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'"
Thank you, Karen. I'm just going to finish off the last couple of verses. When Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We desire, Lord Jesus, not to hear from the words of men this morning. Our desire, Lord God, is to entrust our heart to you. We ask, O God, that you open up our minds and our ears and our will, O God, that we may know what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Father, prepare our hearts that your words will speak, that your words will bring glory unto yourself, that your words will draw us closer to you, that your word will cause us to reflect the beauty and the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. Allow your word to speak to us this morning by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if someone was to ask you, what are the qualities, what are the characteristics of a leader in today's world, what would you say? The characters and the qualities of a leader in today's world, what would you say? Well, according to Forbes magazine, in the December 2012 edition, the top 10 qualities that make a great leader are these. Number 10, ability to inspire. Number 9, intuition. Having that ability to recognize things even before things are explained to you. You have that sense of perception. Number 8, creativity. That's important, right? Number 7, a positive attitude. Number 6, commitment. And 5, confidence. Or should I say, confidence. Number 4, a sense of humor. I guess in today's world, we need that. Number 3, what do you think it is? Anyone care to guess? Okay, number 3 is communication. Number 2, anyone care to guess? Okay, it is ability to delegate. It's so important, isn't it? So important to not just not do things on our own, but we have a team of people around us and knowing who to delegate to. And the number 1 answer, what do you think it is? Just shout it out. I'm sorry? Sorry, Jamie. Integrity, that's an important one. That should be on the list. Integrity. This is a Forbes magazine, a business magazine. Maybe that says about how our businesses are run. That's a very important one. I agree with you. The number 1 answer is honesty, which is, I guess, similar. It's similar. Okay, honesty. Do you agree with this list? Does it surprise you? No, that's pretty bang on, right? I mean, there's a lot of things in there that's important and a great leader, according to Forbes magazine. Now, if someone was to ask you, what are the qualities and the characteristics of a Christian leader, what would you say? Would it change from this list? Would there be things you take out, things that you want to add on to this list? In today's passage, Paul addresses the Ephesian elders, the leaders of the church in Ephesus. And in these verses that Karen read for us, we're given a glimpse from Paul of what the qualities of a Christian leader should be. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. And as Christian leaders, I think there are various questions that we need to ask ourselves. Questions we need to reflect upon and ponder. And when I say Christian leaders here, yes, the passage is addressing church leaders. You know, it's addressing pastors and elders, you know, and deacons and all that. But I want to broaden that definition a bit more this morning. You know, I think a Christian leader would be anyone who's a Christian who has influence over other people. So if you're not even serving in church, and you're a mom or a dad at home, you know, you have influence over your children. So you are a Christian leader as well. You know, if you are a brother or sister, you know, at home, and again, you're not serving much in the church, but you are influencing your siblings, your friends around you, you are a Christian leader. So let us keep that in mind as we talk about that definition of what a Christian leader is today. So first, according to Paul in this passage of Scripture, one of the things I can see us asking ourselves as Christian leaders is this. Do we serve the Lord with great humility? Do we serve the Lord with great humility? Michael Green said this in his commentary on Acts. He said, leaders are not above the church in order to dominate it. They are, if you like, beneath it to serve it. That's the way that Christ served, isn't it? Jesus said in Luke chapter 22, verse 25 to 27, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? Jesus says, but I am among you as one who serves. Both Jesus and Paul saw leadership in this way. Not as a status symbol, a position that deserves honor, but an opportunity to serve others. It is a servant leadership that they model. Now, at the same time, however, humility is not looking down on ourselves and pretending that we have no spiritual gifts, that we can't serve God. No, rather, it's looking up to God and realizing that whatever gifts that we do have come from God. And so by doing this, we can exercise our spiritual gifts without pride, without false humility. You know, some of us, we think, oh, no, we're not good. We're not good enough. We can't do much. You know what? God has given each one of us a spiritual gift. If you're a believer in Christ, you have a spiritual gift. Now, real humility is not saying that I'm useless and I have no gifts. Real humility says, without the Lord, I would be nothing. But with Him, I can be something. Paul knew full well that whatever he accomplished for the kingdom of God, and he did a lot. The Apostle Paul did a lot. You know, he wrote the most books in the Bible of anyone. He went to more places to preach the gospel on his missionary journeys than anyone else. He probably preached more sermons. You know, you name it, he's done it. But the Apostle Paul, he did all those things with the Lord's enabling, with the Lord's empowerment, with the Lord's anointing. That's why he can say, I serve the Lord with great humility. Because he knew that God had gifted him to do all these things. And if it wasn't because of the Lord, it would not be accomplished. Do we, brothers and sisters, serve the Lord with great humility? And secondly, do we serve the Lord with tears? Do we serve the Lord with tears? You know, Paul's prayer life, it's truly an encouragement to me. Paul's prayer life is truly an example to all of us. You know, to the young leaders in Ephesus, he says to them in verse 31, remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day with tears. What he's saying here is that he's saying he's praying for them privately. He's praying for them privately for 3 years every day. And as he was about to leave and sail back to Jerusalem, he prays publicly for them. Verse 36 says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. So not only did he pray for them, but he was in tears over them. How many of us do this as small group leaders? How many of us do this as Sunday school teachers? How many of us do this as children's ministry workers, as youth leaders, as teen and college counselors, as servant team members? How many of us do this as deacons and elders and pastors? Do we pray for the people in which we minister to? Paul truly cared for them. He shed tears for them. These weren't just perfunctory prayers. They were not just prayers that were prayed before a meeting and after a meeting. They were not just prayers that were said. But these were prayers that were prayed in the privacy of his own home. And he cried tears for them in prayer. Paul knew that without prayer, his ministry would not be effective. It would be powerless. He cannot lead others without being steeped in prayer for them. So when we, brothers and sisters, think of potential leaders in our church, you know, in the future, when we lead and when we vote for our elders in our church, when we choose deacons, when we raise up ministry leaders, when we ask small group leaders to serve, Consider this. Do they spend time with God in prayer? Because if they don't, when hard times come, they'll not be able to handle it. They'll rely on their own strength. We will rely on our own strength. And it will overwhelm us. As leaders, I want to challenge us to pray for those whom we minister to and see if that doesn't make a difference in our ministry. See if that doesn't make a difference in the way that we lead our small groups. See if that doesn't make a difference in the way that we teach and we preach. See if that doesn't make a difference in the way that we love and care for those that God has placed under our care. Because when we pray for people, something happens. God reveals his heart and his mind to us about that person we're praying for. And our ministry will be that much more fruitful. Have we prayed, brothers and sisters, to the point of shedding tears over people? Paul loved them so much, these brothers in Christ. It showed in his prayer life for them. Thirdly, do we serve? Do we serve the Lord in the midst of severe testing? Do we serve the Lord even in the midst of severe testing? Paul says in verse 22, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Are we able to endure hard times and to persevere in the face of criticism, in the face of opposition, in the face of slander, attack, suffering, sickness, and even death? Will we obey the Lord and surrender our lives completely to him and trust in his sovereign care and ways? I thank Libby so much for sharing with us this morning. It's a good reminder how the Lord has walked with you as he has shown to us as a congregation his mercy upon Cliff's life, as well as we're encouraged. We are encouraged by your faith in the Lord as you continue to walk in this journey of faith, even in midst of severe testing. Paul was a man who did not let the prospect of hardship and suffering stop him from doing what God wants him to do. Even if it means losing his reputation, even if it means losing his popularity, his comfort, and even his life. I want to read to you a story about Moise Mammy. You may have heard of him in the last few days. Just a couple of days ago, I read this story about him in the 2008 edition of Alliance Life magazine, in which he wrote about his conversion to Christ. He shared with about his troubled marriage. It was in turmoil. He shared about his call from God in a very dark time in his life. He shared about the Holy Spirit's work in bringing him to Christ. And he also shared about the spiritual attacks that soon followed after he became a Christian. And he recalls a conversation he had with an evangelist in which he asked the evangelist, just before he became a Christian, how much it would cost to become a Christian. He told me, this is what he writes, he told me it would cost a lot. It would cost a lot, but it wouldn't be money. I would have to give it all, to give my whole life to God. Then he told me that God loves me. And this was the first time I heard anyone say that to me. A few days later, Moise and his wife, Naomi, both became Christians. Years passed, and Moyes went on to become a pastor of a church, an Alliance Church, actually, amongst the Mano people in Guinea. And then just a couple of days ago, I read on the Alliance World Fellowship website, on September 29th, 2014, he and a group of people, the Ebola team members, were killed in Guinea. The members of the Ebola prevention team that were taken hostage a few days ago during an Ebola awareness campaign had been killed by their abductors. Team leader Moy's body was found alongside seven others who'd been killed during that same event. The team, you see, had gone from village to village, sharing with people how to best protect themselves from catching the Ebola virus, when they were attacked by these angry mobs of people who had heard rumors saying that the bleach that they were distributing, which kills the Ebola virus, was actually the virus itself. And so they turned on these people and killed them. The note says to please pray for his wife and their five children. And pray for the Hope Clinic in which he started and he's the national director and founder of. This is a medical surgical facility that provides treatment for villagers in southern Guinea who otherwise would have no access to medical care whatsoever. And in the last closing statements, it says, we also ask that you pray for the very tenuous and stressful environment that's reinforced by this massacre of those trying to prevent Ebola. There are many who simply do not believe that Ebola is real and have chosen to believe that it is something that the authorities are using as an excuse to kill them. This belief has led them to violence against anyone trying to help them understand what Ebola is. Pray that this ignorance of Ebola is or isn't will change, because it does kill people, as there is something more dangerous than Ebola, believing that Ebola does not exist. And finally, they asked us to pray that the Lord would transform this tragedy into something beautiful. Moyes longed to see the people of Guinea come to know Christ. Our prayer is that through his life, through his testimony, that many will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And they end with this Bible verse in John chapter 12, verse 24, in which Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Do we serve the Lord even in the midst of severe testing? And then fourthly, do we commit ourselves as leaders? Do we commit ourselves to the teaching of Scripture? Paul says in verse 20, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 27, he says, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. As John Stott puts it, Paul taught the whole gospel to the whole city with his whole strength. He taught all possible truth with all possible people in all possible ways. When we teach, do we teach about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or do we just give tips on how to live our lives better? Is our teaching Christ-centered, or is it self-centered? You know, as a pastor, now sometimes I really struggle with what I teach and preach. For example, the sermon that I gave 2 weeks ago about the idols in our lives, I struggled with preaching that sermon, because I recognize that I also have idols in my life. So who am I to preach about idols? Our hearts can be so easily swayed, can't it? Our devotion to things rather than our devotion to the Lord. Besides, wouldn't I just want to say something safe? Don't I just want to say something so that you'll like me? Don't I want to just say something and remain in all your good books? I know I ruffled some feathers. I ruffled some feathers when I brought up what could potentially be modern-day idols in our lives and in our culture. But the Holy Spirit's conviction had urged me to say those things. Even though it may not be what we want to hear, but what we need to hear, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so all I ask you to do, when you reflect on that sermon, if you remember it, is just to allow the Spirit of God to search your heart. Allow the Spirit of God to search your heart. And if there was one thing that struck a chord, that didn't sit well with you, commit that to the Lord in prayer and ask why that is the case and allow Him to search your heart and see if the Lord does convict you or not of certain things. Number 5, as leaders, we need to ask ourselves, do we keep watch over ourselves and set an example to others? Paul said in verse 28, keep watch over yourselves. Leaders must keep watch first and foremost over themselves before they watch over others. You know, there are so many reports, so many stories these days in the news of politicians who misuse their spendings for personal gain and charging on company expense, on government expense. You know, Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. In verse 33 of this passage, Paul said, I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do we set an example for others to follow? By not allowing the love of money or money itself or other things in our lives to have a hold on us. Now, in verse 35, Paul had not just told them. He hadn't just told them to help the weak, but he says he showed them. So as leaders, we cannot ask people to do and to be what we ourselves are not prepared to do and to be. What we are speaks much louder than what we say. Paul says in verse 18, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. My life's an open book to you, Paul says. So as leaders, we must watch ourselves. We must have other people help us to watch ourselves and to set an example of the life that God wants us to live. You know, and I'm talking about many things, right? I'm not just talking about the big things of life. I'm even talking about the small things. And you know, some of us sometimes get tripped up over these small things rather than the bigger things. And so I'm just going to share with you a very, very kind of silly story, but it took place, and I thought it may be appropriate. So about a month ago, when sockeye fishing season started, right? Boy, was I looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it. I hadn't fished a sockeye for like 8 years in terms of really hitting a good run. And so my friends and I, we went out and we fished. And so the very first day on the river, sockeye fishing, after 8 years of not having done so, I catch a fish. Okay, I had a good fight with the sockeye. It seemed like I fought more than normal. And so I reeled it in, and I brought it in, and my friend looked at me and said, uh-oh, I don't even keep it. Well, why not? It's foul hooked, he says. It means it's not hooked in the mouth. It's foul hooked. They're hooked on the body. And I looked around, and I said, I didn't say it, but I thought it. Bill, there's not many people here. There's me and you and this guy down that way and that guy down that way. And so I'm telling you, for a brief second, and maybe, okay, so tell you honestly, for about 5-10 seconds, okay, I thought, no one's going to know. Who's going to know that I hooked the fish in the belly rather than in the mouth? Only you and I know, Bill. And now everyone else knows. But those are some of the things, brothers and sisters, and just to tell you, we didn't keep it, okay? We did not keep it. And the Lord blessed us with tons more even after that. But the thing I want to say is, you know, how we as leaders live our lives, not just in the big things when people are looking, but in the small things of life, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference in all the other decisions that we make. For you, it may be other things. For you, it may be, you know, fudging certain things. It may be integrity. It may be, you know, I don't know, other things. But as leaders, watch ourselves. Be an example to others. And then sixthly, the question we need to ask ourselves is, do we keep watch over and shepherd the flock of God? Do we keep watch over and shepherd the flock of God? Paul said in verse 28, keep watch over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. False teaching and false teachers will come, Paul says. They'll come to distort the truth. They'll come to distort the reality of things by causing confusion, by saying things that are not true, by saying things that are not true about who Christ is, by saying things about not true about who God is, who what the church is, by saying things that are not true about leaders in the church, by saying things that are not true about lay leaders in the church. And some of them will come even from within the church. And they'll cause people to forsake the truth, to forsake the unity of the church. And so leaders must be on their guard. They need to be alert. They need to pay close attention, as Paul has warned them to. The leader's role is to feed the sheep and to protect them from wolves. To feed the sheep and to protect them from wolves. The leader's role is to feed the sheep by teaching the truth and to protect them from wolves by warning of error. So leaders then will need to be discerning. They need to be courageous in order to confront and deal with those who come with their own agendas. And then finally, the seventh thing, and I'm sure there's more, but I just want to pick up seven today. The seventh question that we need to ask ourselves as leaders. Do we have a deep love for God and a deep love for God's people? Do we have a passionate love and a commitment to the Lord, as well as a passionate love and a concern for God's people? In verse 36, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced Paul and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. Now Paul knew that he could only do so much going forward. He's about to leave them after spending time with them for 3 years. But he continues to show love for them. He continues to show love and care for them by praying for them and then by committing them to the Lord, by committing them to the Lord and to his word. And as this passage ends, there's a very tender moment here. I don't know if you picked that up. There's an extremely tender moment here. A Kleenex moment. Where their love for each other really showed through. As Paul was saying goodbye to them, the people he invested his life in for 3 years, I cannot imagine what was going through Paul's mind, what was going through Paul's heart, what he was thinking. I can't imagine. I can't imagine what was going through Pastor John Neufeld's mind at Willingdon Church when last week or 2 Sundays ago, he said goodbye to his congregation after 15 years of being with them. I can't imagine what I would say to you one day if God was to ever call me out of this church. But probably I would take the lead. I would ask Paul to take the lead in this case, the Apostle Paul. And I would say to you, as the Apostle Paul said, brothers and sisters, serve the Lord with great humility. Know that God has given you a special gift, a spiritual gift, to do the work of ministry in this church, in this place, in such a time as this, especially as we start off the New Praise Lands Church. Know that the Lord has given you a spiritual gift to participate in this body of Christ at this time, in this hour. Embrace that gift that the Lord has given to you. But know that it is from the Lord and not from ourselves. And may all glory go to Him as we exercise that gift, those gifts, in order to build up the church of Jesus Christ here in this place. Brothers and sisters, serve the Lord with tears. Cry tears for those that you minister to. Pray with them, with the intensity. You're crying out to the Lord for them. Have that type of heart when you lead those the Lord places under your care. Brothers and sisters, serve the Lord in the midst of severe testing. And I know some of you are going through some severe testing in your lives. Persevere. Do not give up. Do not lose hope. For the Lord Jesus will reveal His glory in your life, in the lives of your loved ones, in due time. Brothers and sisters, commit yourselves to the teaching of Scripture. In your small groups, it's great to do a topical study. Nothing wrong with that. But use Scripture as your base for that study. Know the Word of God well, that it may feed your soul. It is the Word of God that brings spiritual growth. Teach Scripture in the places you gather in Christ's name, and even in your families, with your children. Brothers and sisters, watch over yourselves. Be mindful of how you live your lives, for your witness will speak loudly to those around you. Brothers and sisters, watch over those who God gives you under your care and shepherd them well. Pray prayers of protection over them. Be alert. Warn them if need be. Warn them of their lifestyle. If we love that person that much, pray about certain things that the Lord brings to your mind about a certain individual, and allow that working of the Spirit for you to approach that person in love to speak the truth. Brothers and sisters, have a deep, committed love to the Lord and love those in the body of Christ. My greatest joy is to see each one of you as you come on Sundays or on Fridays or whatever day of the week, Thursday night prayer meetings, to see the love that is shared amongst brothers and sisters here. It is by our love, the Bible says, that people will know that we are Christ's disciples. May our love be that true. May our love be that real. May our love be that obvious for people to see. That when new people come into our church, if nothing else, they would leave saying, this body of Christ knows how to love one another. Be that in this place. In our culture, our culture calls us to be like stars that shine on high. But Christ calls us to be servants that serve in humility. Let's pray together, shall we? And Lord God, we're thankful how you, by your presence, Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit's prompting and convicting in our hearts, that we can hear a word from you to us today. Lord God, I thank you so much for the Apostle Paul, who exemplifies so much to us today of how to be a godly leader in Christ, not just 2,000 odd years ago, but even now in this day and in this age, how we, O Lord Jesus, can see his example. And as he says, that to imitate him as he imitates Christ. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you that you raised up such a wonderful servant for us to see and model after, who models himself after you, Lord Jesus. And so, God, come, we pray. Continue to do your work in your people, in this sanctuary, in our hearts today. Father, speak that we may hear you. Spirit of God, help us to respond to you. Help us truly to be the person, the man, the woman, the leader, the influencer that you want us to be in our families, amongst our friends, and in our world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.